Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Maureen, that's a lovely. What are you wearing? Is that a cardigan?
Cardigan and a frock.
And a frock, yes.
Oh,
new frock. Was it a frock, to be fair, but this is a summer frock, dare I say.
New frock. Where'd you get this one from, Maureen?
Age Concern. I like shopping in Age Concern because I see it as investing in my immediate future.
Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind, charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith.
Hey, I am going on tour in June and July, so I would love to see you there. Some of the cities that I will be going to are Liverpool. I will be in Chester. I am finally coming to Brighton. I'm going to be in Chorley, Blackpool, and Manchester. So if you're in any of those cities, I would love to see you. Go to my website, alisonjunesmith.com, and buy some tickets.
One of my new jokes in my new show that I'm writing.
Oh, Maureen, look at you dropping in a gag this early on in the episode.
I know. I've only got another 59 wow. minutes and 30 seconds to fill, and then I'm done.
Wow. Well, not long then. Something to look forward to. Maureen likes to tell me about every new joke she's written. I genuinely yeah. can't believe this. I've written a new joke. I've said, that's great, Maureen. It's been 18 months. Let's hope you've written one. And out it pops. And it's usually a little tag or a topper that to a joke she's already written.
Yeah, that's true.
But anyway, that one is new, and it obviously is a successful joke because both Alison and I
laughed out loud.
Genuine laughter.
It's a keeper. Yeah.
Not that I've ever faked it with you, to be fair, Maureen. I wouldn't bother. I wouldn't waste my fake laugh on you. I genuine laughter for you, Maureen. So that one is in the bag.
That's in the show. That's in the show.
Yes. Yeah, it's a keeper. How are you?
All right. So basically, I did so much this week. I'm going to divide it into this week's episode and next week's episode. I went to Audley End House, which is about, I suppose, an hour from Liverpool Street by the train. It's an early 17th century house outside Saffron Walden. And it's known as one of the finest Jacobean houses in England. It's absolutely brilliant. But there's just enough to see. It's not too much. I got in free thanks to my
pensioner pass.
Because otherwise it's 27 quid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really, really liked it. From the station, you have to either walk about 30 minutes or take a taxi. I took the latter. And I really enjoyed going around. There's lots to see. I think it's been used for filming and stuff. I think it was used in The Crown.
Oh,
no doubt. Recently. But if you like going around stately homes, I would recommend Audley End. It's a very nice one. Very near to London. Jen, are those new glasses?
No, love.
Jen, are those new glasses?
Those are the old glasses.
My old glasses.
Oh, they're the old glasses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Jen doesn't like to wear the murder glasses all the time.
I don't like to wear the serial killer glasses all the time.
Only when you go out at night.
Only at night. Exactly. I was going to say that, Maureen.
They broke.
Yeah, my, my cereal, actually, they did. My cereal killer glasses broke.
No.
I
had
to take them back to Specsavers to get them fixed. I was wearing them and the lens fell out. That cereal killer, she'll never be able to get it on. She hasn't got the specs. I suppose we shouldn't be making jokes about cereal killers. It's not appropriate, but the glasses did make me look.
No, anything to the most part is appropriate. I have a joke. I have a joke. Let's see if you like it. Are you ready? It's about serial killers.
I'm nervous.
They're the new rock stars. Everyone loves serial killers. The thing is, though, it makes me mad. Nobody's screaming out female serial killers. Like sometimes I'll be like, shows I'll be like, oh, who is a favorite serial? It's always like Dahmer. It's always this. No one's ever like Eileen Wuornos.
That's because there's not that many female serial killers, isn't it? I mean, how many can you name?
But here's my theory, Maureen. I think there's just as many. We're just much better at it.
Yeah. We hide the bodies better.
Yeah, so heads up to all you unidentified serial killers out there. We're proud of your work.
Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. Who are they killing, though, Alison? That's what I want to know.
Not the right people.
And the fact that no one's noticed.
They're choosing
that good.
Very noticeable.
They're that good.
They do their research.
Yeah, they're going continent to continent.
Sorry.
Alison, what have you been up to other than counting serial killers?
Other than counting serial killers, you can tell because I'm with my family, so I'm thinking about serial killing. I flew to Canada.
Sure.
It's been really good. Actually, this trip has been great. So far, so good. Everyone is doing well. I haven't gotten sick yet. So, knock on wood, I shouldn't have even said that out loud, which has been great. Yeah. Oh, and.
What?
I upgraded the flight, guys. I got a last-minute cheapie, so I flew first class.
Wait. Slow the fuck down. I got to rewind here.
Yeah.
This isn't a two-for-one where you turn up at 7 p.m. at Waitrose and pick and hoover up the cheap deals. How are you getting first class on a flight to Calgary?
Okay. The airline place that I fly, and certain ones, what they'll do is if they don't sell out all the first classes, if you're on the app, sometimes they will offer you a first class seat at a very discounted price.
Will they?
Yeah, I've done it before. This wasn't the cheapest one that I've done, but this was like, look, if you're on a plane for 9 hours, I mean, Maureen, after flying for 27 million hours, right? Yeah. Would you pay a little bit just to upgrade?
Can you imagine being flat? Like,
oh, that'd be lovely.
Can you imagine lying flat? Oh, how lush would that be?
It was a dream. It was a dream. They give you a duvet. I laid down.
I love a duvet. And I love lying down.
I had tuna tataki as my appetizer on the plane.
Tuna tataki?
Yeah.
I don't even know what I'm saying. Is that some sort of...
Sushi.
Okay. I mean, last time I went, the chicken had gravy on it, but the gravy, you could have peeled the gravy off the chicken. It was like chicken gel.
Yeah.
Gravy gel. You're like, ugh. I've never flown anything other than economy. I've never flown premium economy. I've never flown business class. I've never flown first class. So that's a dream of mine. I will achieve that at some point in my life. I will fly, guys, premium economy. I have paid for extra leg room. What a treat that was.
Yep, yep.
Unlike Maureen, I did figure out how to use the table.
Oh,
you know, the table
right.
That's in the side, the armrest.
It's tricky, though. It's tricky.
I'm not going to lie to you. It was I did feel like, should I ask someone? But I figured it out. I watched other people. I figured it out.
Staring at people around you.
Yeah. But I'm excited for you that you flew first class, Alison. And you know what I always say? You're worth it. I don't want to keep quoting Jennifer Aniston, but in this case, I think we have to. You're absolutely worth it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I went to Gay Paris with my children and Chloe. And what a wonderful time we had. I had vertigo the entire time we were there.
Oh, Jen.
We stayed in an apartment, which I chose because it's very central, perfectly nice apartment, no hot water for the entire time we stayed.
What?
I had 3 cold showers. And what else can I tell you? On the way home, wow, it takes 2 hours, just to let you know, from Paris to London. It took us 5.5 hours. All in all, Alison, what a treat. What a time we had.
Well, the pictures looked amazing.
Did look good, actually. The pictures were outstanding. Isn't it great? I looked at the pictures and went, God, I had fun.
Yeah, I was like, you guys look like you're having a great time. You're like, I had vertigo the entire time. I was like, oh, well, you can't tell.
Oh, I had vertigo the whole time. I really struggled. One day I woke up, I was in the fetal position weeping. Chloe's like, oh, you know, putting a downer on this holiday. I went, I know. But I rallied. And every day I went out with the world spinning so that my children would enjoy it. You can imagine going up the Eiffel Tower and you've got vertigo.
No.
Holy moly.
No.
That was unpleasant. But honestly, I kept my shit together really well. The sad thing was being in La France, in the home of El Vino, not being able to have one. That was, that says a lot about me, that that's the thing I feel sad about, that I couldn't have a glass of wine. I mean, what a loser. Jen, you're in one of the most beautiful cities of the world. Yeah, but I couldn't drink booze. I really feel like I missed the point. But Alison, and I said this to Maureen, I genuinely love Paris. I felt really at home there. I'd love to go back. That's what I learned from that. But preferably without feeling like I've just stepped off a waltzer. But I did love it. And we were lucky with the weather. It was about 18 degrees for two of the days that we were there. That's pretty, for Brits, for any non-Brits listening, for Brits, that is bikini weather.
Yeah.
So we were like taking all of our clothes off. I was just out in my bra and knickers. The kids were naked. No one batted an eyelid because, you know what the French are like. That was my week, basically. Boom, done. Well.
That's a good week.
Maureen, you've got more weeks to tell us for next week, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Which you're saving. Is that right?
Yep. Yes.
It's so weird because I can't see your face. I've got no idea. Normally, I can look at Maureen's face. We haven't got Maureen's face. We've had to switch it off because her internet was so bad. So we've just got an M in a screen. Look at that. Alison, what do you think about that M?
I don't know because I don't know. She's rolling her eyes at stuff we're saying.
Oh, I can only imagine the faces that are being pulled right now. Maureen, all we've got is an M on a screen.
You don't know if I'm... I could not be out of the room by this point.
I imagine you're sitting there doing that.
Given a couple of... Yeah. This is not a visual medium, but we are miming inappropriate things.
Anyway, we've all had weeks. Good for us. But, of course, it's time to head back to the younger of the Maureen kind who has done something of the Be More Maureen, and she would like to share it amongst the people that are here. That's you and me.
Me and Jen were in the jacuzzi. I had this new swimming costume on, and the top was actually around my neck. So I was flashing Jen and completely unaware of it.
Completely topless. Tankini round her neck. That would have been the first indicator to me. I'd be like, what is this around my neck?
No, I didn't notice. So, Jen, do you want to explain what the Be More Jen was from last week?
I don't like these Be More Jens. I...
I do. I didn't know we were doing this.
I don't approve of these. We've been very clearly named this section Be More Worried, and now you're farming it out to me.
Yeah, that's great.
Because I make the occasional error. Maureen went, I'm sorry, but I'm going to use this one and then I don't have to think of one. And I was like, oh, damn you, Maureen. Here's what happened. Whilst I was away in Paris, vertiginous as I was, Maureen and I were making arrangements to meet up in Brighton for lunch with a friend, Mickey, and, you know, trying to get it all in. And I had put the date in my diary. I'm a good person. Okay, and that's what good people do. They're organized and they put things in the diary. Then I went to Paris. And whilst we were in Paris, I definitely had a conversation with Mickey, if not with Maureen, about, yes, she was like, oh, these are my friends. These are who we're going to, this is who we're going to meet, this chap as well. He's coming. This is who he is. He's a lovely guy. I sent a message back going, sounds great. Can't wait to see you. That was the end of that conversation. Then fast forward. 4 or 5 days, I'm back from Paris, and the following day, I've got shit to do. This is the first day where I don't have vertigo. I've got stuff to do in Brighton, so I'm going in and I'm doing stuff, being organised for my life. On the way home, I see a couple of missed calls from Maureen. I think I'll give her a call when I get back, okay? Because I'm still feeling post-vertigo, talking and walking. It's not for me.
Too much.
I've got to be sit and talk. Anyway, get back. I get a message from Mickey going, something about the lunch. I said, yes. She goes, oh, I'm sorry I didn't see you for the lunch. I said, what lunch? She said, the lunch we arranged. I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to see you next week. She went, no, it wasn't next week. It was today. I think we could have seen this coming. I think we could have seen this coming from a bazillion miles away. That's what the story was. I had been in Brighton that entire day. I had actually physically been in Brighton where Maureen, where Mickey and her friend were having dinner, lunch rather. I could easily have gone in, but because I didn't take the phone call from Maureen and because I put it in the wrong date. Anyway, that's it. That's the end of the story, is I put the date in the wrong part of my calendar. And even though I was, I'm going to say 2 minutes away from where they were having lunch, I think, and I never said this to Maureen, but I'll say it now. I think I walked past it.
No, you missed that out when you phoned me. Jen was very, very apologetic when she rang me up. I think she didn't expect me to take it as well as I did you?
Oh, and you're taking this very well.
And she knew because she was she was standing outside the restaurant looking at how you were taking. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, I was at home at this point. And so was Maureen. Maureen was on the train. She went, yes, well, never mind. And I was like, wow. You're taking this very well. And Maureen was like, well, it's okay. It's not ideal. Ideally, I wouldn't have come all the way into Brighton. I've got, because then Maureen had to go and do a gig in the evening.
Oh, Maureen.
But fuck nowhere.
In High Wycombe.
So she'd gone from London all the way down to Brighton.
The other end of London. The other side
we
of London.
We all learnt something. I don't know what it
that is. Pick up the phone when I ring you.
you're about the only person I do pick up the phone when they ring.
That's true.
You ring. There's very, yeah. If you have ever called me and I've picked up, we must be good friends.
That's true.
I hate, you know how much I hate phone calls. So, yes, I'm really sorry about that, Maureen. But that story, I have to say, was one of the least interesting stories I've ever told.
Don't worry, I've got a good one for next week. I've got a good Be More Maureen for next week.
Oh, have you? Okay, good. Because we need to up our game.
Yeah.
But look, hopefully our lovely producer who's here with us today, Ralph, is going to just swizz through that and edit it. Like, look at his face. Look at his little young face. He's there, he's like, making a sizz motion.
Where the fuck am I going to start? Where the fuck am I going to start with the edits?
Like, fuck you guys. Fuck you. Maureen, thank you very much for my Be More Jen moment. But let's go to Alison now. Alison, I believe somebody has contacted you and they would like you to help them with a problemo. And I believe that you can help them. Let's all ask Alison.
Go to the gym. Get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Cause I ain't using it.
No, no. No, no.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
Well, I don't really know if I'm helping anyone other than me avoiding my own problems. You're sweet. You know what? I shouldn't say
you
that.
You absolutely are.
I love you. I'm going to start off, actually, I shouldn't even say that because I'm like, I have a someone, real quick before we get to the problem, someone wrote in to say a bit of a thank you. So I just wanted to share it with you ladies because I thought it was really sweet. I've done a binge catch up on WTB over the last 6 months, and I just wanted to send a quick thank you to you all. Your openness regarding all things mental health, particularly Ask Alison, has really helped me find the strength to find someone to talk to about how I was feeling and dealing with things with 43 years of assorted crap. So thank you again. She went to your show, The Optimist, Jen. She went to The Optimist.
Oh, that won't have helped. I'm sorry.
No, and at the end of what was a very enjoyable and funny evening from both Jen and I was there on that one, it was suggested that I take... Oh, she sat beside a lady. She made friends. This lady ended up being a therapist.
No.
Yeah. And so they connected, and now she is seeing this person as her therapist, someone that she met at your show, just happened to sit beside them. She had always wanted a therapist. Didn't know how to go about finding one. Literally, the person sitting beside her was a therapist. And now she's so she just wanted to say thank you. And I just wanted to say thank you for supporting Live Stand Up, but also for listening. And I'm so glad. And you know what? You might think I'm cuckoo, but you know what? Because you wanted a therapist and you put it out there. The universe provides
manifest.
Sometimes. It
manifest.
Does. So yeah. I'm so glad that we could be a part of that. So thank you very much for sharing that with us. Here we go. Now we're into a problem. I have a very close mom friend. Oh, P.S. I'm not a professional therapist. I should say that before I do anything. Not professional, not trained. I just like to help people with their problems because, I don't know, I just do. So I have a very close mom friend who I met in a local baby group 6 years ago. Her twin boys are the same age as my older girl, and we are so close. We're going on a May half-term holiday together. Yay, cool mom friend. I'm so happy for you. Great.
That's great.
Great start to things. She's great. She's clever, funny, creative, kind, and all the good kind of stuff, and is generally just a really lovely human being. My problem is with her husband, or houseplant, as we like to call him.
this is tricky.
Yeah. He is beyond unhelpful. She often refers to her guys as my three children. She only has two children. So husband is child number three. There are so many issues with this guy. The list is endless. I like him as a person. Don't get me wrong. He is very sweet and calm. Not a typical toxic alpha male. Not all males are toxic. I just don't want to say, I want to take out that typical. He's not a toxic male. He comes out of a very toxic family situation himself, and with his late father and older brother being absolute dickheads. But I struggle not to get mad and advise my friend to leave him. All I want to do is shout, you deserve better. But I know that's not helpful. We have fantasized about her leaving him, and there are reasons she is reluctant. He is financially quite well off due to an inheritance. He bought their house, so she's financially dependent. She's a child from a toxic divorce situation, which caused major trauma in her, so she doesn't want the same for her boys. She also just doesn't have the energy to uproot her whole life. How can I best support her without getting massively pissed off at her houseplant? Okay, number one, we've talked about this before. If you are friends with someone and you don't like their partner, you can't say it. I'm sorry, but you cannot say it. You cannot. Why? Because A, what if something ever works out? They're together forever, and then they just think you hate their husband. That's going to affect your friendship that you have with this person. B, if they ever do get to a point where they're like, I don't know if I'm comfortable in this relationship, they will open up to you if you keep that line of communication open. All you can do for your friend right now is be there for them, offer them support. Look, if you really want to get crafty, I've suggested this before. Sometimes what you can do is talk about a movie that you saw that maybe there's a similar relationship in it. And you're like, God, I just felt so sorry for that woman. Like, it was just so hard for her. You could maybe talk about a book that you've read that has a similar storyline. You can do gentle things like that. But to be honest with you, you have to wait until she comes to a point where she's like, I think I got to leave him. And then you can be like, okay, I'm here for you. But if you start expressing opinions now on the houseplant, I almost feel like you push them quicker to staying with the houseplant. So it's real tough, but I think that's what you got to do. You just got to be there. You got to support her. You're doing a great job anyway. You're her bestie right now. You're her mom bestie. How lucky are the two of you that you have that? I think there's a lot of moms out there who are alone and don't have that. So, I mean, just revel in the fact that you found her, revel in the fact that you two have each other, and just support her as much as you can. Maybe do a little sneak chat like I suggested, but I really think that's all you can do at this point. But thank you for writing in. I hope that by writing in, it got some of that off your chest. Maybe that'll help you a little bit just to be able to say it out loud to somebody else other than her, because you can never say that to her.
No.
Yeah, that's my advice. That's my what I think. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't, no one wants to hear your opinion about their partner. No. In much the same way that nobody ever wants to hear from you if their partner's having an affair. Do you know what I mean? So either way, yeah, you got to like stay out of it. And you will never be thanked for that kind of input. So yes, you just have to, I should know because I've made that mistake. Numerous occasions. And
have you?
It can really...
Have you said I don't like your partner to people?
Oh, of course. Can you not imagine that happening? I mean, yes, not recently. Yeah. not recently, but certainly in my 20s.
Yeah.
If my friends had boyfriends that I didn't like, or girlfriends, I would never do them the courtesy of hiding it.
Holding back the truth. Yeah.
I would just be obnoxious. So and then they're like, well, I obviously can't hang around with you because you're really rude to my partner. It's a tricky one. You just have to as a friend, you just have to do what you suggested, Alison, which is just be there in the background. And when she's ready to make the decision that she doesn't want to be in that relationship anymore, you can support her out of it. But
be careful slagging him off, because I did that with a friend.
No, that's what we're saying.
You can't, yeah.
Don't, you
cannot. No, but when they finished.
Oh, okay, when they're finished.
But when they finished, I slagged him off. And then they got back together again.
Very good.
And you know that she's going to tell him everything I said. Sure. You just know that.
That's a good point, Maureen. Even if there is a little bit of a, you just got to be careful in general. Yeah, yeah. Very good point, Maureen.
Yes, yeah. It's tricky. And yeah, basically, for all the reasons Maureen just said. Is why it's such a tricky one, but if you love your friend, you kind of just have to like compartmentalize your feelings about the houseplant, and you know, and the chances are, I mean, they might even work it out, and you know, go to therapy and become a better, a stronger couple. You never know; it could work itself out, or if it doesn't, you know, it's really hard if you're financially reliant on somebody. And you're going to be made homeless and you've got children and all of that. It's like, it's a nightmare. So, yeah, be a good friend and just hang around in the background. That's it, for when it will inevitably combust.
Yeah.
Alison, thank you very much for your advices. Once again, you've put the nail on the head and you've hit it very hard with a hammer. that's great.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Maureen has just left.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I don't know where she's gone. I can hear Maureen.
Maureen
laughing.
Is laughing with other people.
We're like, in the middle of a podcast. Can this be my goat? Where's Maureen?
So have you two decided what's got your goat?
Well, I think we've done it, Maureen.
We've finished.
We've done it, and let's just say you were involved. Anyway. So let's talk about the things that we have seen that we would like to impart and recommend to our listeners.
Well, I watched Scoop, which is basically a dramatisation of the Prince Andrew interview on Newsnight. Gillian Makeless is, Gillian Anderson is really good as Emily Makeless. Also, Billy Piper plays the kind of producer who got the interview in the first place. And what comes across is that, you know, they thought they'd done a really good job. They actually thought he'd done well and gone really well.
Oh, no doubt.
And then, of course, social media hits. And I think that's the thing.
I remember watching it thinking, he looks really pleased with himself.
The woman who kind of agreed, who was his PR person, I think what they wanted to do was get it behind them. They kept, he was getting fed up, this story kept coming out. And, you know, there is a case, you know, like Hugh Grant, when he got caught with a prostitute, he went on Jay Leno and he managed to, because he's charming and blah, blah, blah. And he admitted everything. He kind of managed to ride that scandal.
Yeah.
Admitting you're with a prostitute is one thing. Admitting that you're having alleged sex with a trafficked girl is a different thing.
Yeah.
sex trafficked. So it's they thought at first, because I think there was a write-up in one of the papers, that had gone really well and it was going to help him. And then, of course, everybody else's reaction was like, no, no.
And what's it on?
It's Netflix.
Ah, oh, okay. Do you know what? I'm intrigued to watch that.
I'm intrigued to watch that as well, yeah.
Because I think it's an interesting thing to make an entire film about, that interview.
You know, it became an international phenomenon, didn't it? This Prince Andrew.
Sensational.
You know, and you find out little things about him, like he's got a collection of teddy bears on his bed that have got to be kept in a specific order.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to make gross generalizations, but a grown man with teddy bears, psychopath. Okay?
Yes.
Right? Are we agreed? What the hell? I don't like making gross generalizations, you know, but clearly something's not right there, you know?
Wow. What?
But, you know, we all are slightly self-deluded, aren't we?
Yeah.
We don't totally realise how we come across, which is why people like watching things like Big Brother and reality TV, because you think you're coming across as one thing and actually you could be coming across as something else. So, you know, and I remember back in the day, he was quite a heartthrob and, you know, he went off to war and blah, blah, blah. So, you know.
Yeah, in the 80s, it's not 35 years later. Oh, yeah, Prince Andrew, what an absolute throb. But we're saying it for a very different reason.
So that's my recommendation.
Okay,
great,
there we have it.
Great recommendation. Yeah.
Creepy Andy, scoop, fill your boots. I watched Naiad.
What's Naiad?
Okay, well, I'll tell you. Okay. Naiad, you'd like it, Maureen, actually. It is a movie on Netflix and it stars Annette Bening and Jodie Foster about Diana Nyad's attempts to swim the Straits of Florida from Cuba to the Keys, like as in Key West, which I believe is like 100 miles. So it's like an insane, nobody's ever done it before. She tried it originally in the 70s when she was like in her 20s. And she got caught in a cross current and it set her so far off course that there was no way that she'd be able to get her way back. And so they had to abandon the whole thing. And she sort of gives up swimming. She's like this really successful long distance swimmer. Fast forward to 2010 or the early 2010s. She's now in her 60s or she's just turned 60. And she's kind of, I guess, some might say having a bit of a midlife crisis, and she's on the speaker circuit and she's talking about, you know, being a long distance swimmer who's been very successful and about this time that she tried to cross the Florida Straits and she wasn't successful. And, or, you know, it's not like she hasn't got shit going on. She has, but there's something that she feels unfulfilled. And so she makes the decision that she's going to do it at 60. And she says to her friend, who is a personal trainer, and I want you to train me. And her mate is like, you're mad because you couldn't do it in your 20s. What, you're 60. You're not, there's no way you're not going to be able to do it. She's like, well, I fucking am. And we're going to go and we're going to do it. And so she trains for months and months and months. And this movie is about her attempts to cross the Straits of Florida. And it's an interesting movie because it really does look at Diana Nyad, who she is. She's this very determined, very linear, very focused, driven person who has got something on her mind and she's going to fucking do it. But she's also got an ego the size of the Florida Straits. Like, her ego is enormous, which is quite unusual, I think, when to hear it from women talking about how great they are. But she does. Yeah. She's like, I'm brilliant. I mean, I'm just absolutely amazing. And I'm going to do it. And she thinks everyone knows her. Like, there's a scene at the beginning where her mate's trying to set her up with this other woman. And she's like, see that girl and the woman in the white pants? I think you two should get to know each other. And she's like, don't forget to ask her questions about herself. And then it cuts to her going, and anyway, you probably know this about me already because you obviously know who I am. But and just talks about herself. And the woman is like, beep, bored out of her mind. But anyway, this woman is incredible. And the story is incredible. And I think I just really enjoyed it, partly because her story is fascinating. And also you watch it and go, there's one point where she's crossing and she gets stung by a box jellyfish.
And you were like, I relate.
I was like, Diana, hard relate. Which should have killed her, because box jellyfish will kill you. They're one of the most poisonous jellyfish in the world. Sharks, there's sharks in the water as well. There's another scene where a shark comes at her. So there's loads of suspense, and but also the best thing about it is Jodie Foster and Annette Bening. They are the best thing about it. It's having two women in their 60s, front and center, being brilliant. Neither of them have done anything to their faces. They're just women in their 60s, and they look like women in their 60s, but they also look fantastic, and they're such good actors. And I actually felt I just really loved watching it. I can't explain it. I suppose I get so used to seeing women's faces looking in a particular way, I forget that they can look another way. And then you see these two women who are just at the top of their game as actors. And it's just a pleasure to watch them. So that's on Netflix. And I think you'd really enjoy it, Maureen. I don't think you'd relate to Diana at all in her mission to cross the Florida Straits. But there is loads of suspense and the acting.
How dare you?
Top-notch.
Maureen started swimming. How dare you? No.
Yes, Maureen, you have started swimming, so there is that. And Rhys Ifans plays a really great sort of raggedy old pilot, navigator, you know, sailor, basically. And he's really good in that role as well. So, yes, Naiad, I recommend it. If you haven't seen it already, it's been out for a while, but it's on Netflix. Alison, horror, please.
Okay, the horror that I've chosen for this week, I'm going to say it. It's not that old. Everyone, I bet you will remember hearing of it. But I was thinking in terms of like a crappy partner, right? Someone who has a bad partner, a friend who maybe doesn't like the partner. And I just thought, oh, actually, this suits it really well. The horror movie choice for this week is Get Out.
Oh, yeah. I love that film.
Such a great film.
Love is probably a strong word, but it is very good.
I think, Maureen, you would even enjoy this horror movie. The concept of it is very interesting. It's not like a scream. It's more about hypnotism. No. And
it's sinister.
It's very sinister.
Very sinister. But
I actually think you would enjoy it. Also, I always like to point out that this was Jordan Peele's directorial debut. And what a directorial debut it was. For those of you who don't know Jordan Peele, he is part of the comedy troupe Key and Peele. They are hilarious, but this was the first time he ventured into directing horror films because he's always been a horror fan. Here is the breakdown of Get Out. After dating for about 5 months, Chris is ready to meet girlfriend Rose's parents. Sort of. Anyway, she hasn't told mom and dad that her boyfriend is black, and he's worried they're not going to respond well when they come face to face for the first time. Thankfully, his fears on that front seem to be unfounded. If anything, Rose's parents seem to be almost too friendly towards him, and that's when things start to get really weird. But with Chris's mobile phone randomly unplugged and out of power, will he survive the horrors ahead? I love this because his best friend is this other brother who's like, man, I don't know why you go to those white people's houses. They're rich white people. And I just love it because, spoiler alert, everything that he jokes about is what fucking happens. It is so good. I love this movie. I think the best friend gives it a real good comedic kind of like moments of light. It is sinister. The concept of it is so fascinating. You don't really see what's happening until you're into the movie. I loved it. I can't recommend it enough. Get Out is my horror recommendation. Yeah,
what a great film. What a great recommendation as well. It fits in perfectly with the problem.
Yeah.
I can recommend that as well. Get Out. Yeah. And I think, Maureen, you could enjoy it.
I think you would.
Yeah, I
do, Maureen. This isn't a shitty one. I'm trying to push on you. I genuinely think it's a good movie.
Oh, it's a very good film.
Yeah,
I'm reticent to even call it horror.
Maybe next time I'm at Jen's, I can watch it with her.
Yeah,
I've seen it. I've seen it twice. Can you?
Oh, you've seen
Maureen,
it.
Are you on the other side of the room? You are doing something else.
No, I've got to get my charger before my computer goes. So hang on a sec.
I could hear her. I was like, she's doing something. Right. What is she
she's
doing?
She's distracted. She's not in the room.
That's why I bring her in every so often. I'm like, Maureen.
She's loving not having this camera on. She's completely detached.
Oh my God, she's done. She's trying on clothes.
You can pay attention now. Great. Okay.
Good. Well, that's good because we're about to go back into your section. So that's good.
Okay. So now Maureen's back in the room, literally and metaphorically. It's time to go to find out what corner Maureen has cultured with her brain. So I'm trying to be nice.
You were good.
Maureen Younger, she has a corner. It is full of things that we would like to put in our mouths. I don't know what I'm
saying. Wow, wait.
Thanks for that wonderful intro, Jen. We've already established, Jen, you find it impossible to be nice to me, so you should stop trying.
It feels weird. It feels weird.
She does all right out of this friendship. She does all right.
This is actually my cultural corner is going back to, I think, last week's problem that Alison, about a woman who wants to be an actor again. So this is some advice if you're thinking of being an actor or stand up. These are some books you might want to look at. First book is called Being an Actor by Simon Callow, a very well-regarded actor in the UK. And it traces his stage journey from the letter he wrote to Laurence Olivier, which got him his first job, to his triumph as Mozart in the original production of Amadeus, and newer editions continuing his acting career over the last two decades. I read it years and years ago. I do remember one of the things that stood out was he said he wasn't the best actor in his class, but he was really good at getting work. And that is the main thing. And Alison and Jen can back me up. We all started out with people who were really great comics. They just weren't good at getting themselves work, or they kind of fell by the wayside. And the book deals with fears, hopes and dreams of actors. So they're worth having a look at. Sally Holloway, who also was a great comic, she no longer does stand up, but she wrote a book called The Serious Guide to Joke Writing. And it gives you various different methods of how to write material, because we all think differently. We all have different ways of doing it. That's worth having a look at. And this book has just come out. I've just bought it, in fact. Adam Bloom, Finding Your Comic Genius. Again, a very well-regarded comedian on the circuit. And he deals with about writing about stand-up comedy. And there's about 17 chapters are dedicated to writing material. So, that'd be worth having a look, all those books. So there you go.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Maureen. Those are great suggestions. I've read a bit of Adam Bloom's book and I've read, obviously, Logan Murray's book. I mean, I'm not an actor, so I haven't read Simon Callow's book, but he is very successful. So take a leaf out of his book, literally. I imagine a lot of those books would be quite good to listen to on Audible. But certainly the ones that for comedy are great as like books to dip into as well. Not so much now. I think I know what I'm doing. But, you know, when you first start out, it's quite good to have a book to go, oh, well, sometimes you can hit a bit of a wall thinking about how you're going to write, and that can come up with ideas of new ways to just get your brain working often. So they're great suggestions. Thank you very much, Maureen, for your cultural corner.
Maureen, also, P.S., I love that you did books that continued on with a problem from last week. I think that's so nice. And speaking of problems, let's get to Jen. What the hell's getting your goat?
I'm losing everything. I cannot find anything. I don't know where anything is. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am. I can't take it anymore. So that's me getting my goat. There we are. So, talking about goats, sometimes I say to Chloe, I don't know what to do about my goat. She went, well, I've got one. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I don't think it's Chloe's goat. And she went, well, if you want to include this one, she goes, I think there'll be a lot of people who can relate.
What?
So I said, fine, we're going to include, this is Chloe's goat, okay? And you won't be surprised to hear that it includes me. Now, spoiler, it's me. Her goat is this, that she places things on the steps as an indicator that those things are to go upstairs.
Yeah.
Not to be stepped over and ignored. She said to me on numerous occasions, when I leave things on the steps and you're going upstairs, would it be too much to ask for you to bend down, pick up those things and take them upstairs? And I said, I don't see them. She was like, how? They're on the stairs. Of course you can see them. Now, in my defense, I don't like picking up things. And I think that's where we're going wrong. Okay. And I've made that clear very early on in our relationship. Picking up things is not my thing. I feel like it's her thing. Anyway, by the way, I am joking before people start writing me very strongly worded messages on social media.
Jen, treats her wife like a...
Did you hear Jen Brister? She's a misogynist. Genuinely, sometimes what happens is this. I see the thing and I think, oh, I'll pick that up. But then my brain starts to think of something else. And then I go, oh, I've got to go upstairs and get that thing. And then I just go and do it. And... it's true that on numerous occasions I have stepped over the thing that Chloe has asked me to take up, but it's quite clear that it should be taken upstairs and I don't take it upstairs. It is also true that I'm halfway up the stairs having stepped over the thing. Chloe says, can you come back down and take that thing that you have walked over? And I always say, I can't. I'm practically up the stairs now. So these things cumulatively. Alison's like,
my bungalow.
Yeah. Well, that's what we need. The only way we can solve this isn't for me to pick up the things on the stairs. You're absolutely right. Is to go put our house on the market and buy a bungalow. I'm willing to do that.
That might be what saves the marriage. We went with that, one level.
That might be the only thing that saves this relationship is the bungalow. Look, as I'm saying it, I can see her point. But if we're going to split hairs, there were some socks left out the boys' bedroom for about a day. And I was like, is anyone going to take these socks downstairs? And they didn't. And I did. And I said to her, who took the socks? And she was like, really, you're going to zone in on the socks?
The one time
you pick up socks? Do you know my...
it's not just once, is it?
My mum used to hide me under the carpet on the stairs.
Maureen, it's not your fault, but your internet connection is absolutely terrible. I'm only making out every other word, and it's just time to end this bloody episode because it's taken 4.5 hours to record, and poor Ralph will take 4.5 years to
edit. Oh, poor Ralph.
Hope you've enjoyed it.
We love you, listeners. Good luck with this one.
Good luck, Ralph. Women talking bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.